Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 8th day of September, 2023. I am so pumped up and excited that next week the Future of Christendom Conference is being held in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, which is in Lancaster County, at the Spooky Nook Sports and Events. I am honored and privileged with being used by God to help arrange this conference featuring Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, a dear friend of mine since 1995. And the Future of Christendom Conference this year is on the theme, The Gospel at War. And there are a number of speakers who are each taking a segment of how and where and why and when the gospel is at war with different elements of society. So please, if you have not yet registered for this conference, go to futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org. And what makes this even more exciting is that not only is this a conference, but there will be a debate featured as a part of the conference on Saturday, September 16th, from 3:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries is debating Dr. Gregory Coles, who identifies as a gay Christian. And the theme of that debate is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So please try to attend this exciting event Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of next week, September 15th, 16th, and 17th. The 17th will be an invitation to the worship services of the Independence Reformed Bible Church in Lancaster County, and the worship service will be held at the same venue at the Spooky Nook Sports and Events in Mannheim, Pennsylvania. So we hope you can make that as well. That's futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org. But today we have on the program one of the featured speakers at this conference. Her name is Beth Bingaman. We had her husband on the program recently. Beth is an author, and she is going to be discussing today one of her books, Intentional Influence, A Woman's Guide to Biblical Mentoring. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Beth Bingaman.
Thanks, Chris. It's my honor and privilege to be here. I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Great. Well, we have a tradition on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Beth. Whenever we have a first-time guest, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony, which would include any kind of religious atmosphere that you were raised in, if any, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you. So let's hear a summary of your story.
Okay, so the Lord did not call me to salvation until I was 38 years old.
Wow.
I had been raised going to a United Methodist church. My mother used to say, all they teach you is to love your neighbor, love your neighbor. But my friends called me the church lady because I was always there, even took my young children to church every Sunday, taught Sunday school, you know, did whatever they asked me to do. And in that church one week, a pastor made the statement that everyone is a sinner. And in my pride, I sat straight up and thought, well, this poor man doesn't know I'm here. Because surely that is not true about me. As I was leaving that day, I would have to call it more of a challenge than a prayer. I said to God, if that is true about me, you will have to show me. And I am here to tell you that that is a dangerous prayer, because he will show your sins.
Yes.
And so just one thing after another. At the time, I'll try to keep it kind of short. At the time, I was a social worker at Reading Hospital doing discharge planning. I was covering for a hospice social worker dealing with a man who whose son was dying of AIDS. So this was the time when we didn't know what was going on with AIDS. And this man had used his son's razor. He had eaten off his plate, finished his cup of coffee. So he's not only losing his son, he thinks he could get AIDS from this. So I spent a long amount of time with him. I had called my husband to say, can you go get the kids after work? I'm going to be a while here. He's like, fine. And I went to swim, which I normally did while my kids were napping. And I thought to myself, you know, I spent all that time with that man and he didn't even thank me. And the conviction of that sin was so great, but I wasn't surprised by the selfishness. I was surprised that God had heard me and he answered me right there in that swimming pool. I wanted to hide, because for the first time for me, God was real. I knew he had, this was a direct response to my prayer to show me my sin. And I resisted him for a number of years, probably 2 or 3 years, saying, you don't want me. I was convinced that it would, you know, I would lose all my fun. I'd have to stop drinking. I would have to stop using bad language, all these things that I thought were important to me. And he just slowly but surely whittled away at me. And one day my husband came home, and said, you know, we've been passing this Bible believing church. And at that time, he wasn't going to church anywhere. He would stay home and sit in front of the TV on Sunday morning while and listen to political pundits while I went and took the kids to church. So we both, he became a Christian. That is one of the great graces of God, long about the same time as I did. And we started going to a Bible believing church, and the Lord just gave us a hunger for his word.
Praise God. Was this Bible-believing church the Independence Bible Church, Independence Reformed?
No. No. John and I helped Audrey and Joel plant Independence Reformed Bible Church about 10 years ago, just 10 years ago, 10 years in October.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So what was the church that you initially started going to?
Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Reading.
Okay. And was that a theologically Reformed church? And if not, how did you come to discover the Reformed faith?
In his grace, I only ever learned the Reformed faith. God, that church is a Reformed church. The pastor was a fabulous Bible teacher. Elders there who taught. It was a very good, sound, biblical start for us.
And does it still exist? Because I'd like to invite the pastor to my pastor's luncheon.
It does.
Okay.
It does still exist.
And that's, can you
repeat? I'll get you that information.
Oh, great. Okay, well, you have written a book that is something that I believe is an urgently needed book, Intentional Influence, A Woman's Guide to Biblical Mentoring. And the reason I say I believe it's an urgently needed book, because in my experience, just hearing from sisters in Christ, I've been in Christian media going back to the 1980s, and I have, over the years, not only just meeting sisters in Christ in various venues over the years, but even hearing from women who listened to my program, which I launched in 2005, that they are starving for being mentored, and that no one in the congregations where they are a member has stepped up to the plate to do that, to fulfill the biblical command that older women train up the younger. And so tell us when in your walk you began to realize the significance, the great, enormous significance and importance of mentoring women.
So when after I got saved and we started going to this church, it maybe 5 or 6 years in, someone invited me to a class called Bible Study Fellowship. I don't know if you know that ministry, but
sounds very familiar. I just can't place it exactly, but it sounds familiar.
International, very, very good Bible study. And so I did that. And in a couple years, I was invited to teach that. And they asked that teachers of their classes, so it would be a 45-minute lecture every week for 32 weeks every year. They don't want you to take on extra teaching in the local church just for your family time. They are trying to conserve your time for your family. And so when I was first approached at Grace about teaching, I had to say, I can't do that. And within maybe 3 or 4 months of that, the first time that I ever mentored, the pastors came to me, said, we have a brand new Christian. She just walked in off the street. You know, could you meet with her? Well, she was asking me these questions, you know, what is righteousness? Am I still allowed to listen to Bon Jovi? Like things that, yeah, I mean, it was fun for me to get to take her to the scripture and do that. And then the second one was someone who came to me, saw me or heard that I was mentoring one person, and she came, and then another and another. I don't know how many women over the years I've mentored, but it became very apparent that the church has almost gone to some trouble to separate age groups. So we have our small groups and our Sunday school classes for the older people and for the young marrieds and for the singles and for the high school. And we have, you know, all this separation rather than an intergenerational fellowship time where younger women can get to meet and talk to older women so they can figure out who might mentor. And the women are very reluctant. There's part of my book on the excuses I've gotten from women that, you know, I don't have time. Well, I don't know the Bible enough. I'm not that old. We get all kinds of excuses why we can't, or I'm too busy.
Now,
so that's where that is.
Well, my most important question that I think I'll be asking you during the next 2 hours is, do you give love a bad name? That's a Bon Jovi song.
Oh, see, I can't even get the joke.
Well, there's something interesting about your title, and I'd like you to explain it. Intentional influence.
I believe that mentoring is extremely intentional. My basis, my premise is, I think that so many women are afraid of it because it looks like, you know, I have to sit down with a Bible study, meet once a week for an hour and a half and have this very structured thing. And I think that if we are intentional on Sunday morning, if we are intentional at the fellowship dinner to go to younger women, older women, going to younger women, saying, how are you doing? How's that raising of the children doing? How's your marriage doing? If we would be intentional in the way that we interact with other women, we'd do a whole lot more mentoring than we know. Some of it is just a call to be a living example all the time. So we have to be very intentional about our Christianity so that we will be that intentional influence. If you run into someone in the grocery store, you know, do we skip another aisle because we know that lady's going to want to talk to us? Or do we know God will redeem the time that we pour into someone else and stop and talk and listen to where they are and what they're saying and how we can give them scriptural understanding of their situation. So it needs to be intentional. That's where the wording came from. I want women to think about it, to live like how I live matters in the lives of other people.
Now, would you agree with me that one of the reasons your role as a woman in the church who mentors younger women, or even women that are younger in the faith who may be older than you mm-hmm. or the same age.
Exactly.
One of the reasons I believe this is so important is that where a man who is a member of the church may have very intense mentoring and discipleship being done, a male elder of the church, a male deacon of the church, where the male member being mentored and disciplined and, or should I say discipled? I don't mean discipline mm-hmm. in a negative way. Although church discipline is a vital and a beautiful act of love. And I'll get to that later because I myself have been under discipline in the past and I believe it saved my life physically, because it rescued me. It was a part of the way God rescued me out of the sin of habitual drunkenness. But, the way that a man can mentor a man, in an intense and very personal and intimate way where the deepest, darkest secrets are revealed and so on. Since you and I, I'm assuming since you're a member of Independence Reformed Bible Church, you would agree with me that leadership in the church is exclusively male.
Yes.
A woman, there goes my grammar. A woman does not have the privilege, other than a general counseling session, where, and I am a firm believer that if a pastor is counseling a woman, or an elder, or a male deacon is counseling a woman, they should have a woman present in that room. At least, at the very least, multiple men and an open door and a woman in the building.
I agree.
I think it is very extremely dangerous for pastors to be counseling women alone, and I have seen the destruction that has caused by men who started out very well intentioned, who had pristine reputations and who were theologically rock solid and so on, whose ministries were destroyed because of a lapse of judgment during that situation when you're in a very intimate conversation that is going on in a repeated fashion, typically ongoing counseling sessions, and emotions can build up in the male elder and the female congregant that they never thought would happen. And unfortunately, people have fallen into sin, even if it's just sins of the heart that have not manifest themselves physically. But
right.
But that is why I believe that one of the reasons that the mentoring role of women in the church for younger women is so important, because they don't have the advantage of the average man to go to one of his elders or pastors or deacons.
I would agree with that. And I think it's why God gave us the command.
Yes.
That older women are to teach it. You know, we have a responsibility as a Christian woman to obey God's commands. This is one of them. Older women teach younger women.
Yes, amen. I'm going to give our listeners our email address. It is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And I could readily understand that this topic would lend itself to people having personal and private questions, especially if there are women listening and they have a question about their need for mentoring or something that has occurred in their lives through being mentored, either negative or positive. Perhaps that's where some of our listeners were saved by the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ while they were being mentored in a church. They may have even thought that they were saved prior to this mentoring and realized that they were not. Please send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, and we will be right back after this first commercial break. So please do not go away.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life: the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget that RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. They are going to give us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they make their purchase. So whether you are purchasing jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or perhaps you're getting something custom designed like an engagement ring, or like taking your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, your seminary logo, and turning that into a piece of jewelry, or anything else you can conjure up with your imagination in your brain, they will take what's in your brain and turn it into a mind-blowing piece of breathtaking jewelry. I have seen firsthand the mastery that they have over custom designing jewelry, and you are assured that your jewelry will come out exactly the way you want, because through the miracle of computer software, wherever you live in the world, you will be able to see on your computer screen every single step of the customization process. You are able to put your input into the design of the jewelry at any time during the entire process. You can make changes. You can completely change the design from scratch. And then when that phase is complete, when you have had your input heard on the design, they will even, wherever you live in the world, mail you a three-dimensional wax prototype, the exact size of the jewelry that you're having created, so that you can hold it in your hand and you could see how big or small it is. You could flip it at any angle to see what it looks like from all sides, etc. And then you have more opportunity to make changes if you want to. So please, if you have any interest in purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love, go to royaldiadem.com. RoyalDiadem.com, and mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with our guest today, Beth Bingaman, who is an author and one of the featured speakers at the upcoming Future of Christendom Conference, which also features keynote speaker Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's being held next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, September 15th, 16th, and 17th at the Spooky Nook Sports and Events in Manheim, Pennsylvania, which is in Lancaster County. And please, if you haven't registered yet, go to futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org. Also, if you'd like to send in a question to Beth Bingaman on intentional influence, a woman's guide to biblical mentoring, send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And we have a question from Joyce in Little Silver, New Jersey. Never heard of that town before. Joyce says, I agree with you that male headship is the exclusive headship that we should have in a biblically based church. But I must say, in a former church that I was in that shared that view, when I was being interviewed for membership, it was extremely intimidating for me, being a woman, being the only female in a room with nothing but men who were examining what I had to say about my faith and life. I think that women should be a part of those meetings too, even though some might fear it gives the impression to outsiders that they are viewing women as equal in their roles with the male leaders. Obviously, I do not believe that from what I already said, but I still think it's important to put women at ease in such an important time in their lives when they're being interviewed for membership. And I was wondering what you thought about that.
Well, what I think is that I have been included several times, not for membership interview, but for women who are going to the elder board with a serious marriage issue with their husband. And can remember specifically two times that I did this. And the wife before the meeting asked the elders if I could come as moral support, as someone. And I asked the woman, do you want me to speak or do you just want me there to kind of hold your arms up through the battle? And both times I respected the request of the women, and the elders were very gracious about having another woman in there with her, not in any role of authority or leadership, but just to support her, understanding that that was a little intimidating. And so I wonder if we were willing to do that and knew that was an option, if we would go to our elders and say, you know, that's a little intimidating to me. Do you think I could have someone in there with me? I would hope that they would say yes. I also think we should expect that when that group gathers, they're gathering as leaders, and you would hope for some mercy and some kindness to be extended to a woman in that situation.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree. And especially in this day and age, in the climate we have of not only actual horrifying cases of abuse in some way of women by men in a church, but the false allegations. A woman might just have some reason that she has an axe to grind against a certain church. And especially when you're talking about the one man, one male pastor or elder or deacon in a closed office with a woman, there is nobody there to confirm the pastor's defense of innocence. So I just think that churches that keep plowing forward doing things the way they always did, just because they may fear the way something looks, as the listener Joyce said, that she was assuming that perhaps her former church did not have any women in those kinds of meetings because they didn't want people to think that they believe in women elders or something. But, you know, that's obviously, if you just make yourself clear about what you're doing, you don't have to worry about that kind of thing. But Anyway, excellent question, yeah. Joyce. And by the way, Joyce, due to the generosity of my guest, Beth Bingaman, today, you're going to receive a free copy of her book, Intentional Influence, A Woman's Guide to Biblical Mentoring. I'm going to be picking those books up from her next week when I'm at the Future of Christendom Conference, and those books will be mailed out to a limited number of our listeners at that time. So please make sure, Joyce, that you give me your full mailing address in Little Silver, New Jersey. Thank you so much for an excellent question. What issues do you deal with in intentional influence that may not even be on the radar of many people, both men and women, when it comes to the importance of women mentoring women?
I think that the most important thing, well, there are several things, I guess. One is the obedience to God, that this is something that he has called us to. We are to make disciples. You know, we're not just to make converts. We're to make disciples. And so, as you've said, women on women makes more sense, even in being able to answer the questions that they have regarding raising their children, regarding loving their husbands, and even for the single woman. You know, how do I navigate this world as a single woman, not having a husband to go into meetings with me and things like that? So I think, first of all, we have that responsibility. I think that we've also lost a long-term generational view of what God is doing on earth. So we fail to see that I may mentor, you know, Susie Jones today, but it isn't just Susie Jones that will benefit by God's work in her through that to grow her faith and her knowledge and her understanding of his word. Her children and their children and their children down generationally. So I think that's another thing that we've lost a view of, that if we could get back into this understanding that we need to not just influence the woman sitting across from me, but we want that to have a domino effect straight on down. I think there's also a responsibility that we have, you know, James 1:22, we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So that's another portion of this that says to me, it doesn't have to be a formal long-term relationship, that we could be doing this as we teach women. You know, there's a new interest now. We've younger generation wants to learn to can their vegetables and garden and sow again. They see hard times coming and they're trying to prepare for that. Well, there are older women who have all those skills who could be passing that down in a way that, again, you have a generational influence, but you also have a current influence on the woman or the women who might be learning that. It could be in groups. It could be one-on-one. It can be around your kitchen table. So I think there are a lot of ways to obey God, and then we get the blessing. He says he'll overtake us of a blessing if we obey his word.
Excellent. We have an anonymous listener who says, do you think when it comes to especially teenagers, it is wiser to have a woman in the church outside of the family mentor that female teenager or female teenagers, plural, in the home because of the fact that teenagers are probably less likely to open up and bare their soul with their own mother? And I'm assuming, I don't know about the intention of the question, but I'm assuming the anonymous listener doesn't mean that a woman, I mean, a mother should not have a role to play in the mentoring of her own daughter or daughters, but to add to that, the outside person from the church, woman from the church.
Right. I make a point in the book about saying you have to start at home. So if that is a definite top priority responsibility of a mother, is to make sure that she is teaching her children, especially her daughters, what is the godly role? What is the woman's role? I think that a parent has to be completely comfortable with the person coming in to their
child. So if I'm going to think that my child is maybe not telling me things, or there's a part of her life that she's in anguish about and I can see it, she's not telling me, I want to say as a parent and who that might be. I fear, and like you, I don't really know the basis of the question. I fear a little bit that you have somebody on the outside of the family saying, oh, I don't like what they're doing, and so I need to go in there and teach them. And let's face it, Christianity today, these more biblical views are being rejected even by some people in the church. And so, you know, I've just spent weeks studying feminism for the talk next week, and it's scary how this has infiltrated in the church. So I think, yes, there's nothing wrong with someone from the outside coming in and coming alongside of a teenage girl, but I do believe it has to be with parental knowledge, support. All of that has to come from the parents. That daughter needs to understand they are the high authority over the mentor.
Now, your answer to that question was, you were saying that it's acceptable, but do you think it is wiser to include that? And again, I was adding to that anonymous listener's question, in addition to the required role of the parents to raise up the child in the way they should go. But do you think that it is wiser to include an added mentoring influence to a teenager, especially when you're talking about even a young woman can have a teenage daughter, relatively speaking, and she might even be extremely young in the faith. But also because of the reason that the listener gave, there may be a hesitancy for teenagers, even in a Christian home, to be completely honest with their parents.
It's very hard for me to say that that should be done regardless of whether or not the parents want it. I think parents have to have the primary say.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't even in inferring that they should, that should be done without the parents.
Okay. I felt like the question was, is it necessary to have this outside person?
That could have been her intention, but I think she just meant wise. Or it might not have even been a woman that wrote the question, but it's an anonymous. Yeah. And of course, I don't believe that anybody has any right to be doing anything without the consent of parents,
right,
with, you know, somebody else's children. Now, now that I'm saying that, I'm hearing myself say that, I'm assuming that there might be some other circumstances where a child, whether it's a young child or a teenager, has been molested by a parent or something like that, molested by somebody in the household. Shouldn't they have the freedom to go to someone first, like the pastor, like someone like you, if it is a female, and report this? And then eventually, obviously, the leaders of the church would confront the accused, the parent, or the uncle, or the aunt, or whoever it is. Wouldn't that kind of a thing be an exception?
Absolutely. I don't ever think you would turn away any child reporting any abuse because it's been so confirmed that it happens again and again and again. I think it's one of the other missing pieces. You know, if you go back and study God's law, he says, cry out. If someone approaches you, if someone molests you, you are to cry out. If you're in the country, no one will hear you. But if you're in the city, you're to cry out. And I don't think we teach girls that. We say, oh, well, don't tell anybody. You know, we'll just keep that in the family. But if a young girl would come to anyone in the church and say, somebody needs to know about this, then yes, I would say absolutely. And we take that to the church. But also, I think we have to recognize that's a criminal offense. Mm-hmm. It should be reported.
Yes.
Beyond the church leaders.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would never say don't get a mentor for your high school daughter if you trust the woman who's willing to mentor her.
Amen. We do have another anonymous listener. The anonymous listener asks, are there excellent resources that you can highly recommend when it comes to someone who desires to be mentored, especially in this case, a woman, but is not receiving that mentoring within the confines of her church? There may just not be a woman available who is seasoned and mature in the faith who could perform such a task, especially when the congregation is small. So I'm assuming this anonymous listener is talking about parachurch ministry. Well, yours would be one, wouldn't it? I don't actually know for a fact that you do mentoring of women from other congregations, but if you could just answer the anonymous listener's question.
Yes, that's a very difficult question. I mean, there's tons of books out there if you want to read a book on the topic, but even that, you have to be so careful, biblically speaking, that you're getting a biblical view of that. I think that we can certainly step outside if there are parachurch ministries where you're meeting other women that you think could do the mentoring. I have certainly mentored women outside of my immediate congregation. Some of them have come to me on the recommendation of someone else, and I've been able to, in my schedule, put them in. That kind of thing does happen. So I think that even when I do that, I recommend to them that they look for someone in their own church. I think that we forget that iron sharpens iron as well, and you can also find a peer who might be able to at least be a sounding board and who will have a biblical worldview so that you have someone who is going to have biblical wisdom to help you with that. Certainly, there are ways, you know, and I'm a speaker as well as an author. I've done a lot of going to churches and teaching what my book says about how to mentor, trying to encourage women that you do have what it takes. If you have a love for the Lord and some biblical understanding, you can do this. And using other people's resources, you know, books and Bible studies in order to direct the time. So I think that that's also available. You know, you don't know the area, so you don't really know to say go here or go there, go to a bigger church, go to another church that's like-minded with you and see if there's someone there. I'm not sure exactly how that could be done if there's no one in your own church. Pastor's wife?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Anonymous. You've also won a free copy of the book that we are addressing, and I don't know if I forgot to tell the other Anonymous listener that as well, but if you give me your full names, obviously through an email, I'm not going to divulge that information on the air, and your full mailing addresses, we will make sure that Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, ships those books out to you. And we have Bethany in Wyandanch, Long Island, New York, who says, one thing that gets me a little irritated, even though I am not an egalitarian and I do believe in the complementarian view of male headship exclusively in the church, I think sometimes it's ridiculous when churches seem to never have women speak to women's gatherings and fellowships. At the church that I am familiar with, that I used to be a member of, they would always have a man speaking to the women gathered. And I think that was a crying shame because there are so many gifted women who could mentor these women, at least in a sense to start the ball rolling so that their own churches could have the women pick up the mantle.
I would agree with that. I think that Titus 2:3-5, older women likewise are to teach the younger women. It doesn't say one-on-one. It doesn't specify small group, big group. And I think that a great deal of learning can happen woman to woman. And I mean, like I said, I do that all the time, teach groups of women. So I would agree. I think that the Bible gives us that permission.
Now, what specific topic will you be addressing at the Future of Christendom Conference?
The Gospel at War with Feminism.
Oh, great. Obviously a urgently needed topic. And feminism in the 21st century is very confusing because you do not even have a monolithic approach by those who call themselves feminists. You have, on the one hand, feminists like the old school feminists who would actually be, in some areas of life, in agreement with conservative Bible-believing Christians because they're against pornography. They're against women being used as sex objects. And I could go on and on and on with those kinds of things. Whereas you have growing in their popularity, those who claim to be feminists who just grasp onto what they would call sexual freedom. And so since men can be pigs and dogs and be promiscuous, they have the freedom to do that too. And what they fail to bring up in their platform of influence is that the men that they believe are chauvinistic and who mistreat women are delighted by that. they love the fact that a woman is so insistent on having a legal right to murder her unborn child, because that leaves the guy off scot-free. You know, I mean, for any kind of insistence that he provide for a child and that kind of thing. So this is a very bizarre world we live in when especially when you throw into the mix the whole transgendered movement, because there are feminists mm-hmm. who are actually radically opposed to that. They're radically right. opposed to men walking into public women's restrooms with
or
wigs.
Or swimming in their pool.
or competing against women in sports.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, on and on. So that's a very interesting and needed topic. But we have to go to our midway break right now, folks. Oh, and by the way, our listener in Bethany in Wyandanch, you've also won a free copy of the book we are discussing, Intentional Influence, A Woman's Guide to Biblical Mentoring. Make sure you give us your full mailing address in Wyandanch, Long Island, so that CVBBS.com can ship that out to you as soon as we have it in our hands when I see Beth at the conference next weekend. So that's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Send us your full mailing address. Please, folks, be patient with us. It's the middle of the show. The break in the middle of the show is always a little longer than the other breaks because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the SEC requires of them to localize geographically Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, where they're physically located. And they do so by airing their own public service announcements and other local things in the middle of this show, while we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So use this time wisely. Please write down as much of the contact information provided by as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. And also use this time to send in your question to our guest today, Beth Bingaman. We'll be right back. Please do not go away.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation, Society presents The Future of Christendom, 2023. The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Patafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Patafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, remember, as I've been saying the last couple of weeks every day, my dear friends at solid-ground-books.com, who are a vital a premier sponsor of this broadcast ever since we first launched the show. They are going through some difficulties with a slump in book sales. So I'm hoping that many of you will help reverse that situation and go to solid-ground-books.com today and place the biggest order that you ever have placed before. And if you've never placed an order before, that you would do so for the first time. They are a necessity for our continued existence. The financial support that comes from solid-ground-books.com is indispensable. And by the way, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com a favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print lost treasures of the past going as far back as the 16th century Protestant Reformation, and also publish new works by such contemporary authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, one of the speakers at the upcoming conference and debate next weekend in Mannheim, Pennsylvania. So please, you'll definitely be doing yourself and everyone for whom you are purchasing gifts an enormous favor by going to solid-ground-books.com and wade through the huge and breathtaking and stunning collection of Christian literature, some of which you can't find anywhere else. That's solid-ground-books.com. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Beth Bingaman, I just have some very important announcements to make. Folks, if you really love the show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or a credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way from your post office, well, there is also a physical address that will appear on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, business, private practice like a law firm, a medical firm, or just a special event that you want to promote, as long as whatever it is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. Please send me an email to chrisaronson@gmail.com, chrisaronson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. Folks, as I've said before, we have never bounced back in regard to the giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio from our listeners after that giving plummeted at the outset or the onset of the tyrannical, ridiculous, and unconstitutional mandates that our federal and local governments began imposing upon our citizens. I'm assuming, since the plummeting of giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio was simultaneous with that, that many people in our audience had their income reduced or perhaps even eliminated because of the insane, unnecessary overreach of our government in that regard. So if you would please help us out, we have never bounced back and we need your help more than ever. Financially, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. I also want to remind our listeners, if you're a man in ministry leadership, please, if you can, come to the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free pastor's luncheon, Thursday, October 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. My guest speaker this October 5th will be Jeff Noblett, one of the most powerful preachers I've ever heard in my life, who is senior pastor of Grace Life Church of the Shoals in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. This church financially supports pastors all over the world. I've met many of them who attend his annual conference. So if you're a man in ministry leadership, we hope you attend. And not only will you be getting free admission, free opportunity to hear Jeff Noblett preach in person, free opportunity to share fellowship with colleagues in ministry, some that you may have never met before, and some that you are rekindling an old friendship with, and eating a wonderful lunch for free. Everybody who attends is going to receive a heavy sack of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom that I personally select. And that's absolutely free of charge, too. There is nothing for sale at these luncheons at the insistence of my late wife, Julie, who created these luncheons in the 1990s, and I continue to do them in loving memory of her and in tribute and honor to her. So please, if you can come, we would love to see you there Thursday, October 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, doctrinally solid, theologically sound church like Independence Reformed Bible Church in Lancaster County, I have extensive lists spanning the entire globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people in our audience in all parts of the world find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live, that they didn't even know existed. That may be you, too, if you are without church home. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put I Need a Church in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guest today, Beth Bingaman, on Intentional Influence, A Woman's Guide to Biblical Mentoring. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Beth, I have a question of my own before I go to any more listener questions.
Okay.
Is there anything that you could think of that may be a common mistake, other than the mistake and perhaps even the sin of neglecting the mentoring of women to begin with by the older women, but something that maybe well-intentioned Christian women are doing in the church that you would view as a wrong-handed approach, although well-intentioned, perhaps misguided approach, etc. What do you notice, if anything, that could be warned about or warned against?
The only thing that comes to mind as you ask that is that failure to do intergenerational teaching events. Anything that we separate out small groups, older people don't want younger couples with children because the children, you know, where are they going to play? What are we going to do with them? It's an inconvenience where I think that if we would consider this responsibility that we have to teach the younger women, that they come with children very frequently. You know, that's the stage of life that they're in. So I think that that is one thing. If the church could do more intergenerational Sunday schools and fellowship dinners and those kinds of things, you would have more interaction. Or if women were just more intentional on Sunday about going to a younger mom, asking her how it's going. I think I said that earlier, that I think we miss an opportunity to just meet and greet people as they come in, as they go out, as they sit there looking happy or exhausted, we could approach them. So I think those are the things that I generally see lacking in more traditional churches. I don't know that across the board thing. I do hear older women who kind of say, I did my thing. I taught Sunday school and I worked in the church and I did all that. Now it's the next generation's turn. Well, I just don't see that scripturally. I do not see, you know, let's just retire from doing our good works.
It's actually the opposite of the command. Yeah, the older women are supposed to be doing the mentoring.
Yeah. And don't grow weary. You know, we're supposed to be doing this good. So that attitude comes with the retirement in our culture attitude. You know, I'm done now. I'm just going to go play golf and travel and see the world, and the rest of you can just worry about all the problems. So I see that as a problem, but I wouldn't say it's an across-the-board thing. That's an occasional objection that I get. You know, I have enough to do.
Okay, we have... let's see. I just had a question in front of me, and I can't find it.
Uh-oh.
Becca in Champaign, Illinois. Becca says, do you have any counsel and advice for women such as myself who have a calling, I believe, to be a mentor of other women, where you don't come across as being proud and arrogant, that you would even suggest such a thing to any of the women in the church that may come across as a holier-than-thou attitude?
So I do have a suggestion for that. I have a couple of them. One is let your pastor know you're willing. Let someone in leadership who hears about the problems before everybody else does, Lord willing, or even if there's something that you hear about, to go to the pastor and say, is anyone addressing this with her? And, you know, I'm willing if not. I think that pastors don't know who to call on. They don't know who's willing. So if we go and just say, you know, if this occasion should ever arise that you would want a mentor for someone, I'd be willing. The other thing that I have done, because I have the exact same thing, like, how do you do this without looking like you're being very prideful? And so I would invite a lady to lunch. One of the examples that I use is this woman who came to me. She was a brand new Christian in her 50s, and she was a high executive married to a blue collar worker. And she, their whole married life had been very prideful, authoritative over him, because she thought she was better than, because of her position. So she came to me saying, I don't know how to love this man, but I know what I'm doing is wrong. And I said, you know, I would be happy to meet with you about that. Well, she jumped at that opportunity. So I think that reaching out to people that we think might have something, even if they're just new Christians, that we go to them, I would never have guessed that that would be the thing she would be the most concerned about in her early new Christianity. So to me, it is you put yourself out there one-on-one, or let your leadership know that you're willing to do it.
Yeah, I think that's a great answer.
Thank you.
Let's see here. We have a another listener. And let's see, her name is Frederica in Barcelona, Pennsylvania. How close, do you know if Barcelona, Pennsylvania is close to where the conference is being held?
I don't know. That would be maybe, I don't know. I don't know Barcelona.
Okay.
And I'm in Reading, so that's another, I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, I'm a new, fairly new citizen of Pennsylvania. I moved here in 2014. She says, when Chris Arnzen asked you about problems you see in wrong-headed approaches to mentoring women, I thought of one immediately. It seems fairly shocking to me that even sometimes in the best of churches that are theologically sound, women are privately or publicly promoting to other women in the church books and DVDs and TV programs and radio programs hosted or written by women that are absolutely heretical and horrendous. Do you see this as much of a widespread problem as I have seen it?
I am in a really solid church. So they're very careful about things like that. So I have not seen that so much. Pretty much for me, my experience has been Reformed things have been offered. I haven't had a lot of having to go, oh, I don't know, that was not such a great book. But I think we have to, if they are being offered, we have to be willing to speak the truth to the woman who's suggesting that and telling her either what we've read to warn her that she at least needs to go investigate it, or if we've read it or seen it or whatever the case may be, that we're willing to go to the person promoting it. Matthew 18, if you have something against someone, you go to them. So you go and you speak the truth in love to her that you're concerned that this is doctrinally not the standard of the church. That would be my only response.
Yes, and to confirm the problem that our listener has brought up, I have actually seen, or should I say heard from pastors who have complained about that, even solid pastors who have said that, you know, they've even asked me for advice on approaching women in their church, even though I'm not a pastor, who they know have been reading things, Beth Moore or what have you, maybe a woman who's involved in the Word of Faith movement, and they don't even realize it. Because they are so fearful of crushing the person's spirit by throwing a cold bucket of water on their enthusiasm over something. But we always have to remember to be more concerned about somebody's theological, spiritual health than whether their feelings are temporarily hurt.
And, you know, I think sometimes we can approach people with, I don't want to come off holier than thou, but I've been warned off of this, or I have read this and have seen the heresy in it, that it should be a conversation if you're speaking with a Christian sister. I do think that on social media, I see that a lot. And I'll often send a private message just saying, this would not be something I would be recommending based on this understanding.
Yes. Thank you very much, listener. And let's see here. We have another anonymous listener who says, in what realm do you believe it is appropriate for a woman with teaching gifts to speak to a mixed audience of men and women, if at all? And I'm wondering if that will be the case at this conference where you are speaking.
That is the case at this conference. I've never accepted an invitation in a Sunday morning worship service. This conference has invited both men and women. My comments I am trying to address to the women, though the men will be there. My message is largely so that women will, again, be willing to speak to other women on this topic. Obviously, the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society believes that not on a Sunday morning. It's okay for me to be up there in front of men and women on a topic that is especially for the women who are there.
Okay. And please, because I don't want to the time to slip by without you addressing some vital points in your book that you want to make our listeners aware of, that may not even pop into my head or anybody in the audience's minds before the show is over. Why don't you just highlight some of the areas of the book that you think are vital?
Okay, the book is broken into three sections. The mandate coming from the Lord, what's our responsibility? And there I talk about making disciples, about being intentional, that, you know, we put in a lot of labor, but God does the changing of the woman. There are times certainly when you feel like you're spinning your wheels with certain women, and you don't feel like you're going anywhere. And so we talk about all of that kind of stuff, how to start it, how to know what kind of relationship to have, whether you're going to do something formal is the next, the method, how are we going to do this? Is it going to be very formal? Are we going to sit down? Are we going to have a monthly meeting with a group of women? Are we going to use God's word? Are we going to have an opportunity to teach something more practical, which I think I talked about, the gardening or the canning or one of those kinds of things where women just gather, a lot of conversation happens in those situations. And then the third part, I take the Titus 2 teaching, and there is a chapter on what resources, what we can do to teach women to love their husbands, to love their children, to have self-control, to be pure and busy at home, and training in kindness. And then, you know, the S word, we have to submit to our husbands. And so the last section is very specific, a chapter on each one of how to do that, how to teach that. And then it culminates with that the word of God may not be reviled. So it's very important to God that when we don't do these things and when we're not teaching younger women to do them, we're reviling his word. I don't want to do that.
So if you could put the listener at ease who is, he might not only be a complementarian, but even a patriarchal Christian who is upset that a woman is speaking to a mixed audience, how would you put them at ease that you believe you are not violating any kind of a biblical principle, and in fact that even the folks like Joel Saint and everybody running the conference is not violating a big biblical principle? Because there are very picky folks out there, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, that people shouldn't be picky to make sure that everything that they are involved in is in accordance with God's word, but I'm just saying there's a spectrum of pickiness out there, and sometimes I believe some folks go way overboard in criticizing, condemning, and even slandering people for doing something in opposition to the scriptures in their minds. But anyway, if you could, what would you have to say?
I don't know if I could quote you a chapter and verse on it, but I would say that, first of all, my husband, my head, has approved of this. Mm-hmm. My pastor has invited me to do this. So I feel confident under their leadership that I am doing this under their headship. And then I think that it is not a worship service. They don't pretend that it's a worship service. It's an educational mm-hmm. kind of setting that they want to have. We are teaching what the Bible says, but we are also not doing that under a church ministry. We're doing right. that under a parachurch ministry. And it was made clear to me by my husband mostly that because he was the conduit for Mars with me,
right.
not because I didn't talk to anybody else, but that my comments should be made to the women, that is my audience. The men can leave the room if they want to. There's nothing holding them in that room.
Right.
If they're uncomfortable with that,
right.
they don't have to be there, but they can be there and hear what I'm saying to their wives or their daughters.
Right, right. I did that when Rosaria Butterfield spoke at one of the G3 conferences in the past. By the way, something puzzles me. How could you be from Mars when I thought women were from Venus and men were from...
Yeah, I'm definitely not that Venus. I'm more Mars. I love my man.
For those of our listeners who have no idea what that joke was about, yes. I have to repeat that the ministry putting on the conference is Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, which goes
by... We call ourselves, yeah.
Mars. And before I go to the final break, which is approaching in about 6 minutes, if you could just highlight another aspect of your book that our listeners need to know about.
I think that one of the points that I try to make so clearly, because many women do feel like they would be being prideful or whatever to think I can do this, but they're afraid of approaching someone, is that this can be done in so many ways. If you are a student of the Word of God, you can, in any conversation, I break it down to that short, sweet, to the point, formal, you're going to meet for a few weeks, you're going to use a Bible study, and then the divine appointments we talked about, like you run into someone at the grocery store. But I think there's a bigger opportunity we have in the living example that we are. How do we act in public? If we're a single woman, are we content with where God has us? If we're a married woman, are we complaining about our husbands? Are we, you know, I need a glass of wine just to get through the day with these kids? I hear that so much. And those are the things that I think we can live as an example before the world, giving this influence to whatever sphere of influence we happen to be in. We talk about choosing friends, your actual friends, very wisely. Your best friends should be Christian friends. again, it's the iron sharpens iron. You don't want someone who's not going to challenge you to live for the Lord and to do it well. So I think that it's important to understand that there's not a way that we can mentor another woman. We can come alongside of them. I use the Aaron and her holding Moses' arms up in the battle. And while God had told him, while your arms are up, you're going to win. Drop your arms, you're going to lose. I don't know why God chose that, but he couldn't do it. He couldn't maintain it. And Aaron and Hur came in on either side of him and held his arms up. So I often think of it like that. I'm just holding a woman's arms up through the battle, whatever battle it is that she's in the time of life that she's in. And for whatever reason, I seem to get more people with problems than I do the new Christian who just needs to be discipled. So I'm often working with that kind of situation. So that's what I want to do. I want to be their support, their cheerleader, their iron sharpens iron. It's different than with a friend. In a friend, you're kind of equals. When you're the mentor, you're not pouring your heart out. You're listening to someone else. It's a more of a one-way relationship than a two-way relationship. And I make that distinction in the book that a friend is different than a mentor. A mentor may become a friend, but in the mentoring role, there's work to be done.
By the way, one of our listeners is correcting something I said. I apologize. The listener is not in Barcelona, Pennsylvania, but in Barcelona, Arkansas. I'm sorry. I don't know how I missed.
Well, that's why we don't know where it is.
Right. Sorry for mixing that up. I still hope you come to the conference. My pastor's luncheons, for instance, I attract people every year from very far distances. We have had people coming regularly from Georgia, North Carolina, from Maryland, from upstate New York, from the five boroughs of New York City and in Long Island, New York, from New Jersey, Illinois. I even had a Reformed Seventh-day Baptist drive all the way from Texas to one of my pastor's luncheons here in Pennsylvania. So Arkansas should not be ruled out if you would like to come to this conference next weekend. But anyway, we're going to our final break right now. So if anybody would like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th to the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We are excited to be including a formal debate in this year's conference. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be debating Dr. Gregory Coles, author of Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity. The debate topic: is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? So come join us for the 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with a theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Head to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Omega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life: the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org. That's g3min.org. And enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group, and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com, For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please make note, folks, that Grace Covenant Baptist Church of Flemington, New Jersey has a new website, gcbc-nj.org, gcbc-nj.org. Disregard the website that was in the commercial.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
By the way, I want to thank the publishers of the New American Standard Bible for just today renewing their advertising contract with Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And yesterday, I heard from my dear friend Dan Buttafuoco, attorney at law, who has also founded the Historical Bible Society that you hear advertised in this program. He's renewed his advertising with us. And by the way, if you are the victim of a personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. I want to thank these fine folks from the very depths of my heart for renewing their contracts, and also the Puritan Reformed Church of Phoenix, Arizona has renewed their advertising contract with us, and you'll be also hearing ads for the business owned by the pastor of Puritan Reformed, which is Armored Republic. Thank all of you, because Iron Sharpens Iron Radio could not exist without your financial support. Well, I'd really like you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today, Beth, before we go off the air. I think you're on mute, Beth.
Thought I'd done that. Sorry.
That's
so
all right.
I think that would be that, you know, we're to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that he says a couple times is, I did what the Father told me to do. And the Father has told us that we are to love one another, serve one another, encourage one another, and that older women are to teach the younger women. And so I think that we have a responsibility before God to live very intentionally training the next generation to love God in the same way, to obey him. And we don't like that word anymore, but that is God's call. And he says he'll bless us for obedience and he'll curse us for disobedience. I'm going for the blessings, and I want everyone else to go for the blessings as well. I think that's the biggest part.
Amen. Well, I want to make sure that our listeners have all of the information they need to purchase your book, and also just to get in touch with you if they want to invite you to speak at some women's seminar or conference or event, or any other reason they need to get in touch with you. I know that your website, your own personal website, is BethBingaman.com. Beth Bingaman, and that's spelled B as in boy, I-N-G as in George, A, M-A-N for man, Beth Bingaman. And that's BethBingaman.com. And we also want to remind you, please, if you have not already registered for the Future of Christendom Conference, which is being held next weekend at Spooky Nook Sports and Events in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, which is in Lancaster County. And as we've been saying for weeks and perhaps even months now, Dr. James R. White is the keynote speaker. And he's also going to be participating in a debate with Dr. Gregory Coles, who identifies himself as a gay Christian. And the theme of the debate is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ Church? The conference is being held Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of next weekend. That's September 15th, 16th, and 17th. And the debate itself is being held on Saturday, September 16th, from 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. Go to futureofchristendom.org to register, futureofchristendom.org. Also, please do not forget about my Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon. This is only for men in ministry leadership, as always, and it's free admission, free lunch, a free opportunity to hear one of the most powerful preachers I've ever heard, Jeff Noblet of Grace Life Church of the Shoals in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, preach to you. And also a time to have fun, fellowship, and food, and refreshment and relaxation with colleagues in ministry, both those that you likely have never met and some that maybe you haven't seen in a long time. Everything's free of charge, as my dear, precious late wife, Julie, insisted upon, that this was to be entirely a treat to pastors, to men in ministry leadership, without any hidden agenda or ulterior motive. And that's the way I've continued to do it years after her going home to Jesus for eternity, in loving memory of her and in honor and tribute to her. So if you would like to attend this event, Thursday, October 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. I truly thank you, Beth Bingaman, for being such a wonderful guest today. I look forward to having you back on the show. I look forward to meeting you next weekend at the conference. I want to thank everybody who listened. I hope that you all have a very refreshing and blessed and safe and joyful and Christ-honoring weekend and Lord's Day. And I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.